Hey, what's up? It's your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self-Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abusing our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start this lovely show tonight, so please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Yo, yo, what's cracking?
Nothing much. What was the vibe of the week for you?
Man, shit. A lot of negativity and a lot of dodging bullets. I mean, shit. Honestly, like, I mean, it wasn't nothing too terrible. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just been a lot of ducking and dodging. Like, like for example, like me and my kid was out for a ride or whatever. And, shit, we were sitting there at a traffic light and, you know, shit, I was talking on the phone with you actually. And, like, shit, before I knew it, like, it was a car accident that happened, like, literally right behind me. And the impact was so impactful to where, like, I felt like the person hit my car. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they hit the person, like, literally right behind me. You know what I'm saying? And this was, like, kind of, like, ongoing traffic or whatever on the opposite side. Like, you know what I'm saying? This person on the opposite side, like, hit this person right behind me. And like I said, like the car crash was so impactful. Like I thought, like the person hit the back of my car or whatever. But shit, the black person to me was like, nigga, let me get the fuck on up out of here, cause you know I don't want no problems or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I checked my car or whatever after the fact, and you know what I'm saying, she didn't hit my car, but it was so close to the point where like, you know, if. Like, the whole thing that kind of, like, fucked me up was, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just a car behind being into a car accident. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how close, like, you know, life had manifested, you know, for me to not be in that car accident. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, that shit was just so mind-blowing for me. But, I mean, shit, on a brighter note, I was able to record a actual fight that happened in front of my kid's school. I was picking her up.
Oh, that's not funny. Yo.
I was picking her up. Like, I usually get to her school, like, you know what I'm saying, like, at least, like, 10 to 15 minutes early or whatever, and just so I can get a good parking spot. Then I pulled up at her school or whatever, 10 to 15 minutes before dismissal or whatever, and I had noticed that at the end of the corner of her school, like, it was a bunch of girls. Like, roughly, like, around, like, maybe five or six girls, like, you know, just sitting at the corner or whatever. So, I'm like, shit, y'all a little too, y'all must be grown because y'all too young to, you know, to kind of be, like, out of school at this time. So, I just assumed that they were, like, you know, not a part of the middle school or whatever. And then, like, this car pulled up, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, this girl pulled up. She got out her car, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, apparently they was having a discussion or whatever. And something told me to press the record button because I was like, it must be something going down because, like, ain't no girl about to, like, pull up and then get out her car and then they just about to have a conversation at the corner. This about to be some scrapping shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because basically, like, where I come from, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody pull up and then they get out their car and y'all just having a discussion, y'all ain't meeting up to greet and have a conversation. Y'all about to scrap. So, like, as soon as I press record, I kid you not, like, one chick fucking just started swinging. You know what I'm saying? Like, so... They got into this crazy ass fight or whatever, and a couple of more people have pulled up, you know what I'm saying, like, in their cars or whatever. So I'm thinking, like, it's about to be a bigger brawl or whatever. And, like, you know, people started getting out their cars to actually stop the fight or whatever. But, you know, that was before the fight actually started escalating to where, like, you know, more of the girls started actually fighting and stuff like that. So I looked at that, you know what I'm saying, like, I felt like that was a good thing, you know. I felt like that was a good gesture on, you know, like the people that pulled up and actually stopped the fight. Because back in my day, they would have let you, you know, pretty much scrap it till, like, the cops kind of came or whatever. But
the parents come smoother too.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, in this day and age, like, I don't condone that shit. Like, I just found it funny, you know what I'm saying? Just that in the time of the, you know, the mind frame that I was in, I was kind of like in a dark cloud or whatever. So I thought it was actually funny. But no, like, I really feel like, you know. It was good for, you know, fellow parents, you know, within my middle school, you know, that my kid goes to, like, really step in and just be like, you know what, like, this shit ain't even called for. Like, you know, stop condoning, like, this, you know, this teenage fighting or these, you know, these kids actually fighting and actually hating each other type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because once they get out of the habit of actually fighting, you know what I'm saying? But they pretty much promoting music and, you know what I'm saying, within the streets nowadays, just like kill, fuck fighting, like we about to kill type of shit, you know what I'm saying? So we got to nip that shit in the bud right then and there, you know what I'm saying? Quit all this fighting bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And if you got to fight, you know, at least let those two people that have, like, their differences actually fight and not have people jumping in and, you know, before you know it, like, 5 or 10 more people start fighting, and then people that don't really condone the fighting actually start shooting. And then you actually, you know, got death on your hands type of shit, you know what I'm saying? So I do commend those people for actually stepping in and actually squashing that whole shit. And,
that part.
You know, just really settling that shit. Like, you know, like, I would honestly prefer, you know, you fighting, duking it out or whatever, you know what I'm saying, hashing your differences out that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it could get down to it, you know what I'm saying, have your conversations and your disagreements, you know what I'm saying, and really come to a common ground and be like, you know what, I don't like you, you don't like me, okay, that's cool, we about to leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do commend them for, like, you know, breaking into, you know, stopping it to where it escalated to something, like, you know, more crazy. But yeah, that was my crazy week. What about you?
First of all, it just baffles me that kids are got beef this early in the school year. You know, it usually be around homecoming and, like, wintertime. They already ready to fight. Like, we just came back from virtual. How you doing? Can I get some love?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the keeping it complex, though, for me. So I found out back in, like, 2013 that I'm allergic to kiwi, right? And the other day I was shopping. And, you know, both farms, they had this Green Machine drink. So I grabbed two of them because I'm like, Green Machine, that's definitely going to detox me, right? So I started drinking it. And someone just told me to look at the ingredients, and it said kiwi in there. So I stopped, and I'm like, is my lip tingling? Is my tongue tingling? I felt tingling, but I'm like, maybe I'm allergic to the seeds in the kiwi. So I started to drink it again. Why the fuck did I drink it again, right? So my lips was just tingling for the rest of the night. I was praying that they didn't swell up. So I'm really allergic to kiwi to where I can't even have it in a drink. And I wanted to get your take on something. So I was reading this book. I forgot the name of the book, y'all. But in the book, this author, he's a guy, he was saying that women, he said men don't like to talk about their emotions in the beginning when getting to know each other. They like to talk about fun things. You know, they don't like to talk about things, about like emotions, because it's hard for them to process it. So when I read this, it made me think, like, well, damn, when I get into my next relationship, how is the conversation going to go? Because, yeah, you have the what's your favorite this and what's your favorite that question, but I like to really – it turns me on, a man's intelligence. So I like to ask questions like, hey, if you can name a song that describes your personality, what would it be? I really like to stimulate a motherfucker's mind, but I don't want to turn him off. So, like, what's your take on that as a man?
I mean, like, when it comes to, I feel like in a sense, like, it all depends on your man. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on your man of interest. You know what I'm saying? Because When it comes to that, like, it's hard to really, like, determine right then and there without actually, you know, stepping on a person's toe whether or not, like, you know, they'll be willing to, like, answer those things. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's where getting to know a person, like, really plays an effect. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll be able to know how willing and able they are to answer certain questions, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it may just take you to just, like, you know, to rip off a bandage, you know what I'm saying, just based off a topic and or a conversation that y'all may have, you know what I'm saying? It's all about, you know, just timing it at the right moment, you know what I'm saying, to be like, you know what I'm saying, like, okay, like, this is the perfect time to rip off a bandage, you know what I'm saying, because he asked this particular question or because we're on this specific topic, you know what I'm saying? It basically enables you to, you know, to have him open up to that, you know what I'm saying? And if he still happens to not really open up, you know what I'm saying, after you ripping off a bandage, then you can kind of really determine right then and there, like, okay, like, maybe he's just, you know, maybe his, you know, maybe there's a wall, you know what I'm saying, that's pretty high that particular time, and, you know what I'm saying, like, it's not the right time to really ask those kind of questions. Or, you know what I'm saying, like, I feel like there are certain stages, you know what I'm saying? There are certain stages to where, like, you know, and not even just a man. Like, I feel like that's just, you know, for women in general, too. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on, like, what a person had went through based on the type of question that you may be answering. I mean, that you may be asking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because,
yeah.
like, I'm pretty sure, like, not to really, you know, get too far into your business or, like, really throw your business out there. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, or even for me too, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like for you, for example, like, you know what I'm saying? If somebody, like, you know, brought up, like, you know, like a whole discussion on domestic violence or whatever, depending on how open you are and how much over it you are with that situation will determine whether you're willing to answer those questions. Or like for me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like if I got into a situation to where, like, you know, I was conversing with somebody about alcohol or whatever, or the topic of alcohol may have came up, you know what I'm saying? They'd be like, well, shit, like, you know what I'm saying? What you drink? Like, type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Without them even really knowing kind of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that can either,
you know, trigger a person, you know what I'm saying, if they're not over the situation, or, you know what I'm saying, like, with me, for example, like, the fact that I'm over it, I've overcame those demons and everything like that. I won't bombard a person with my emotions just based off that question, you know what I'm saying? Because I may not have been over it, type of shit. Like, the fact that I'm over it, like, I can, you know, I can calmly say, like, you know, hey, like, you know, like, I don't really partake in the drinking no more, type of shit, because of these situations that I've been through, you know what I'm saying? But it just let them off with ease, type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's okay that you ask that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, I could probably, like, you know, I could refer you to the shit that I used to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you do drink.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just all about, you know, whether or not that person is kind of really, you know, over the situation. And, you know, their comfortability, too.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like a lot of these self-help books and relationship books, sometimes be written off of just that person's personality alone. They don't know everybody's answer. So you're right. So, okay, well, let's get into the show. Tonight, guys, on the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic, we are talking about guilt tripping. So I know a lot of you guys can relate to this. So we're just going to get right into it. You know, these topics don't need no explanation because we're going to get nitty-gritty into it. So you ready to rip the bones out the meat, DC?
For sure. Let's get it. Slow quicker.
Right. So first question, that part. What frustrates you about guilt tripping? Like when a person guilt trips you, what frustration do you have behind it?
I think it's just really just the aggression behind it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like when a person guilt trips you, like they try to convince you just based off of aggression that, you know what I'm saying, like, their opinion is more valid and more, you know, right than yours, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the decision is too, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll start with it light. Like, I, like, the guilt tripping that I used to really always kind of go through was moments where, like, I would have my kid on, you know, on weekends that, you know, my friends would want to hang out. And, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, at that time, like, I would give in with my friends, but at the same time, I knew that because of the attachment and the connection that I had with my kid, it started to become a little difficult. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, I would tell her, like, you know, like, hey, I'm about to go out for a little bit. And, you know what I'm saying? Mind you, this is around, like, you know, possibly like 8, 9 o'clock, you know what I'm saying, at night type of thing. And I can just tell in the tone of her voice, like, she just didn't want me to leave, like, type of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of like, honestly, like in the promo video,
video.
That one clip where I had, like, where the little baby, where she was like,
don't leave me.
And, like, it was, I swear to God, like, that's how my kid was. And, like, I swear to God, like, I felt like the worst parent in the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, granted, like, I did go, you know what I'm saying, because, like, you know, I felt like she was in a comfortable establishment, and, you know what I'm saying, like, I wasn't really considering that it was really effective on her emotions like that, so I would just go ahead and go, like, you know what I'm saying, like, it's okay for you to be, you know what I'm saying, with your grandma, you know what I'm saying, like, this is somebody that you can, you know, confide into, you know, be emotional with, be protected by, you know what I'm saying, but, like, now that I look at it now, it was, like, I feel horrible about that shit, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, but at the same time, I did do it, but, you know what I'm saying, like, and then another example, when, I, like, post, going through like my DUIs and everything like that, I had made a decision to really, you know, isolate myself from the world. You know what I'm saying? That was via phone calls, that was via text messages, that was via in person and everything. You know what I'm saying? And I had one particular friend, like, you know what I'm saying, like, who, you know what I'm saying, because, like, we were pretty much attached at the hip, too, you know what I'm saying, like, when it came to, you know, kid-free weekends, like, you know what I'm saying, like, it was us time, like, type of shit, like, you know what I'm saying, like, somebody was calling somebody on a Friday, you know what I'm saying, kid-free Friday, calling somebody, and it came down to, one particular, shit, it was actually a Saturday. So he was, like, really tripping. So it came down to a particular Saturday, and I was outside smoking or whatever, you know what I'm saying, get ready to go to bed. Like, mind you, this was, like, you know, probably, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock or whatever. And I'm sitting in my car, I'm smoking or whatever, because, like, the possums was really heavy around nowadays, and I didn't want to sit outside and just, you know, let a, you know, possum, like, nick me in the ankle or whatever, because I have a bad luck with squirrels and, you know, rodents and everything like that. But, so yeah, I was sitting in my car in the driveway, and I seen a mysterious ass car just whip up in the motherfucking driveway. I'm like, okay, I ain't got no Glock on me, I ain't got nothing. So, like, if anybody try to pull out and just, like, you know, clap me or whatever, I'm done. But, so yeah, I was sitting there, like really alert, like, who the fuck is this pulling up in my driveway like this? And when he got out, you know what I'm saying, like, I knew that was my friend. I was like, damn, like, nigga, what up? Like, phone call before you pulled up? You know what I'm saying? But he was like, you know, he pulled up with our other friend or whatever that we hang out with. And when I say they literally tried to guilt trip and or convince me for like an hour and a half to get out and, you know, really just try to have a good time type of shit, they literally did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole time they could have just said, like, hey, you know what? You good? All right, fuck it. We'll just go out and, you know, have fun, and hell, have fun for you. But that wasn't the case. Like, they just, you know, they was trying to, you know, convince me, you know, by wordplay and everything like that. And I think, right. And the funny thing was, like, for desperate measures, like, he really, like, called somebody that I was having that I had, you know, something going with at one point in time. He called that person and, you know, basically was trying to sell me some ass. And I still didn't feel the need to want to go out and even really get that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, because it's like, once you kind of, like, really just go overboard with the aggressiveness of really trying to, like, guilt trip a person for not really trying to go out and, you know, not really respect their decisions on not wanting to go out, it's really kind of a turnoff. So, like, the more you kind of, like, press a person, like, the more, like, it kind of, you know, the more it kind of turned me off, you know what I'm saying? So, So, yeah, like, an hour and a half later, they was just like, well, you know, man, like, hey, you know, get your sleep, you know what I'm saying, like, rest up, you know, type of thing, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you get out of this phase and everything like that, and, you know, I'll let you tomorrow. And it was like, okay, you know, but at the end of the day, it was like, you know, you, like, your farewells wasn't really genuine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they were still, like, in the sense, you know what, I wouldn't even say that, like, I feel like that was more so the realization of them, you know, realizing that, like, damn, like, this nigga, like, really in that phase of, like, you know, being by himself type of thing. And, you know, to them, it may have been scary. It may have been scary, you know what I'm saying, especially for my best friend, you know what I'm saying, because he knows most of, you know, my emotions and how I interact with, you know, my depression and everything like that. So, I mean, he may have been scared in a sense, too, but, you know, I would answer phone calls and texts whenever I felt the need to, and, you know, so forth. But yeah, overall, the aggression, I feel like, is what frustrates me and, you know, and irritates me at the same time, too.
Thank you for that. I would say what frustrates me about guilt tripping is the lack of accountability and the entitlement. Because, like, you know, when a person is used to you giving in, it's like they don't have to do so much guilt tripping. You know, they'll probably throw in your face what they've done for you. They'll probably give you the silent treatment. But after a while, they know that you're going to give in because, hey, as people pleasers, we want to be on somebody's good side. We want to be liked, right? But
right.
It's the lack of accountability. You sit up here, okay, like, for a prime example, my sister, My sister has always been jealous of my friendship with Queen K. She's always felt like my friend Queen K has preferable treatment over her. But she never holds herself accountable for all the shit that she put me through. And I know that she doesn't have the mentality yet to accept me telling her that. So it's just like, I get frustrated because it's like, you know how you treat me. We don't forget how we treat people. We just act like we try to suppress it and put it to the back burner, but we don't forget. But it's like, it's the lack of accountability because you're always pointing at me of what I'm not doing right. And as a people pleaser, you know what I'm saying? You try to do it right. Like, okay, you say I don't spend enough time with you. I'm going to spend more time with you. But it's never good enough. So it's like, that's what frustrates me, because it's like, instead of throwing shit in my face, instead of going on social media to make me like the bad guy, why can't we just have a heart-to-heart talk? Like, why can't we just sit down and just really talk it out? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't know. I think people, some things that we do are just embedded in our DNA. Like me, I'm always in my head a lot. Even when I try not to think about something from the past, I try to live in the moment. I've done it so long, I don't know how to turn it off, but I can only check myself. But I catch myself every day, my mind is drifting off. So I think that's the same thing with the guilt tripper. They don't see it as long, because people that like to guilt trip, because, you know, we're going to get into that in a second, because I know I've done it before. You like to be around people that is going to enable your behavior, that's going to see nothing wrong with what you've done. And my sister definitely has friends like that. You know, one of her friends before even checked me about it. And I'm just like, you wouldn't understand, because she does the same shit to you and you think it's okay. So it's like, after a while with guilt tripping, it tricks you and makes you feel like, damn, maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. But it's like you said before, DC, no, I got receipts. I know what I've brought to this table. I know what I've done, and it still wasn't good enough. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck you want from me. So
right.
That goes into my next question, because like I said, I was a guilt tripper before. So why do we forget our frustration on guilt tripping when we do it ourselves?
I mean, honestly, I feel like this is kind of a hypocritical, you know, answer, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, the reasons why we forget our frustrations is the reason why, you know what I'm saying, like, we entitle somebody, you know, as guilt, you know, entitle people as, you know, guilt tripping us, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, honestly, the reason why we forget is because, like, we... Even though it's hypocritical, we tend to look at our guilt tripping differently, just based on how we approach it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can look at us as, you know, a caring friend, or, you know what I'm saying, a caring spouse and stuff like that, and, you know, can look at it as, like, you know what I'm saying, like, because we've dealt with this, and, you know, because we're experienced in this field thing, like, we kind of know what we're talking about, and we kind of know what's best for you, type of thing. You know what I'm saying? We're just being a caring ass person. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, like, when we do pressure a person into taking, you know, our advice, or, you know what I'm saying, like, things of that nature, we don't realize we guilt tripping ourselves. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And because you know, it could depend on the scenario. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are in, like, a critical situation, you know, well, if the person that you're talking to is in a critical situation, then, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it triggers in your mind, like, okay, like, this person needs rapid, urgent, you know, responses and or advice, type of thing. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of just, you know, react just off of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to them, it comes off as aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Because you're giving this rapid, urgent, immediate response, like, type of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not giving, like, the pillow cushion or the pillow talking, like, you know, type of responses or whatever. Like, you're not soft with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're coming off as aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Because from, you know, from the story that they may tell, or, you know what I'm saying, the situation that they may tell, like, you know what I'm saying, like, it comes off to where, like, okay, like, this person need, like, some for real, like, urgent-ass fucking responses type of shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's, like, if you don't give this person the certain insight based off of what they're going through, they may just take it upon themselves to think for themselves. And sometimes people thinking for themselves ain't necessarily the right, you know, way to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I feel like that's why, you know, sometimes we do forget our frustrations, you know what I'm saying, when we do happen to guilt trip, you know, ourselves, because it's almost kind of like easy to look from the outside on it, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to situations, you know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like when it comes to our own situations, we don't tend to, you know what I'm saying, revert that and really think outside the box because we're in the box. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for us to think outside of it. So yeah, that's my take on that.
I think we forget our frustrations because it's like, I know for me, because I was guilt tripped, I thought it was okay. Like I thought, like, whenever somebody in my family or a friend threw something in my face, I looked at it as like, you know what? That's just their way of telling me that I'm being ungrateful. That's, you know, that's their way of showing me from their side. But when somebody had, you know, basically told me, like, yo, I don't like when you say that shit. I don't like when you guilt trip me. Just say what it is. You don't have to make me feel bad. You know, you could say it a different way. I thought about it like, damn, that is fucked up. But like you said, we don't always, it's easier to look on the out than, like, you know, look in. And as a people pleaser, you know, because I know for me, I always looked at life like I was perfect. I didn't want to see myself as this negative person. If I was snappy and it offended somebody, I was trying to do everything in my power to get them to like me again. And as people pleasers, you think because we have big hearts, as people pleasers, you're still doing stuff to appease this person. So if they tell you to stop fucking with somebody, you stop fucking with them. Like, so you hurting other people in the process to get validation from others, and you don't see how you're coming off, right? So it's like you tend to become real toxic and everything. Like me, I know in all my relationships, every last one of them, I always deal trip. Oh, you hang out with your boys more than you hang out with me. Rather than just saying, hey, babe, you know, I was looking forward to us hanging out tonight. You know what I'm saying? When can we put some time away to spend time together? I feel like if you have a different approach, but that's what I was always used to hearing growing up. So I'm like, well, shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm a guilt trip. But it didn't get me far. I was the type of person that overgeneralized. Like, you could have just cuddled with me the night before, but the one time you turned me down, oh, you never cuddled with me. You never give a fuck about me. Because it's just like, out of anger, it's like, this is what I see. But it's easy to forget your frustrations, just like it is with being a parent and treating your kids the same way that you were brought, you know, you were taught, you were, you know, raised growing up. You forget about how that shit made you feel. You just felt like somewhere in the back of your mind it was right. So it's like, it's just easier to... It's easier to guilt trip than to check yourself. You know what I'm saying? Especially, it goes back to what we said. Like, you know, growing up, we were like these sponges that absorbed everything. So if you got guilt trip, that's the only example that you have, so you do guilt trip. Unless you know what I'm saying, want to change the narrative. But if you grew up thinking that it was okay, it's like, oh, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to keep doing this shit. Even if somebody say it's wrong, you admit it to find a new way of approaching things. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been doing it so long, so it's like that's going to always overpower. But I'm trying to check myself more nowadays, because that shit's not cool at all. So my next question is, do you think it's easier or hard for you to give in to someone guilt tripping you?
I mean, I feel like at one point in life, like, I feel like it was easy to give in to somebody, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that people pleasing side was the one thing that got the best of me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was always a people pleaser. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always put someone else's feelings, you know what I'm saying, before myself. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when it made them feel good, it made me feel bad. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I was still going through some shit. And, you know what I'm saying, like, because that became the norm, it made people forget to even really ask me how my day was going or how I'm feeling, like, type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So that really took a toll on me to where now, like, you know what I'm saying? Well, yeah. It got to the point where, like, you know, it was hard for me to do that, to really, you know, to not give in to somebody, you know what I'm saying, when they was guilt tripping type of thing. And, you know, honestly, like, it wasn't even really to a point where, like, they didn't really have a chance to guilt trip me at that point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was easy to accept the person without even really, you know, them guilt tripping me, you know what I'm saying, because of the people pleasing side. But the fact that I've made it harder to really accept the person guilt tripping me, well, the fact that I've made it harder for, you know, me making decisions based off of, you know, somebody else's decisions as far as, like, me going out or, you know what I'm saying, like, things like that. It's made it a lot easier for me to, you know, just say, like, you know, like, hey, like, I get you want to do this, that, and the third, but, like, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not feeling it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just my way of thinking now. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like, it took me to go through some shit to really turn the narrative around. And, you know, I started, you know, thinking for me and, you know, my satisfactions and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Because before it was more so, you know, just, you know, making the people that was around me and that was willing to be around me satisfied to where they would just, you know, stick around type of shit. But, shit, nowadays, like, honestly, like, I don't care to, you know, be soaked up in a person's emotions about, you know, based off of my presence, you know what I'm saying, whether I'm there or not type of thing, you know what I'm saying, because I've been there before. And the fact that I was able to reflect on it and realize that it didn't make me happy or it didn't get me nowhere, it's like, what's the point? You know, yeah. So that's my take on it.
I would say 4 years ago, it was easier for me to give in to someone guilt tripping me because I always wanted to be like, you know, if I fall out with a family member, you know, like me and my sister, we fall out a lot and I'm always giving back in. Like I'll send her some money just to start a conversation, you know, or like, you know, my mom, when I used to give her the silent treatment because she used to make me so mad, she will always say, one day I'm not going to be here. You know what I'm saying? You're going to regret it. So it's like, okay, let me snap out of this because, you know, life is too short. But then it's like, you know, sitting back here, living in a whole nother state where I really don't hear from my family like that, you just start to think about things. Like, I've had friends and strangers that I'm still getting to know or I'm just getting to know willing to look out for me more than my family. So it's like, right. Life is just as short when you're not reaching out to me to talk to me. It's like I shouldn't have to jump and I shouldn't have to, you know what I'm saying, I shouldn't have to break myself to make sure that you're happy, but you can't give me what I ask for. It's always excuses and I always have to accept whatever bullshit you give me, but on my end, I'm supposed to just always jump because, you know, that's what people are used to you doing. And it's like I'm learning setting boundaries aggravates the shit out of people because it's like, oh, you're disrespectful, you're acting funny. No, it's not. It's just that if I have friends that treat me more like family than my own family and I like the way I feel around them, why is it wrong for me to want this from my family? Why can't we try to change the narrative? Like we say every time we're at a funeral, we only come around for funerals. We need to start doing, you know, we need to do better and come together. But we never do nothing to change the shit. I really believe we make time for what the fuck we want to make time for. So it's like, I'm like you now getting into this mentality of like, I'm going to get around those who celebrate me and not tolerate me. I'm going to get around those who see and hear me because it's like, I be so in my head so much because my family always, I've had anxiety since I was little, but I just never knew because I didn't go to therapy for it. So it's like they always felt like I was too much. Like, you know, I would overanalyze stuff. I would get scared. I would, you know, get anxious, you know, panicking. Like, is something going to happen? They would just always say, oh, my God, you act just like your mom. And it's like, okay, she had anxiety too. But it's like, I'm always in my head wondering if I'm too much for people, you know what I'm saying, because I was always guilt-tripped and always trying to like people, and it was never good enough. And now that I'm learning to, like, really sit with myself and accept myself, I'm like, gosh, there's nothing wrong with you, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're human, you know what I'm saying? Everything about you that has been nitpicked or critiqued is what makes you you, so why would you hate it? So it's like, why would I want to be around family that's going to, because, like, you know, most of my guilt tripping comes from my family. I don't get that from anybody else. But it's like, that's what makes it very hard for me to accept help from people, because I never want to piss them off and then give them a reason to say, well, I did this, this, and this for you. So I'm always trying to make sure that I could pay somebody back or do this and do that. But I have to learn that everybody is not like the family that you were, you know, born into. And you have to separate that. So it's like, I'm learning to set boundaries for myself. You know, like, I'm coming back home next month, and I've made it up in my mind that I'm not going to be able to always come back and see everybody like they want me to. Because, I mean, it may sound petty, but it's like, I'd be wanting just a phone call just to check up on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's have a heart-to-heart talk. I be really wanting to just have a bond with my family, and it's like, it's always, oh, I'm busy, I can't do it. But it's like, with me, I'm supposed to drop everything for you. So it's like, yeah, I'm definitely like you now, like, where it's just like, I can't stress about it no more, you know? So, last question. Yeah. When trying to change the narrative, how do we not let the guilt tripping of others affect us emotionally or mentally?
Well, I mean, honestly, I feel like, you know, that's a hard quest to really, you know, accomplish, because I know for me, guilt tripping is going to always play an effect on me. But like at heart, I'm always be a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
That's a confession of mine. I'm always in a sense be a people pleaser. Like, I feel like that's gonna be something that's gonna be hard to kill. But when it comes down to it, I just have to constantly tell myself that, you know, emotionally and mentally, you can't let that drag you down. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I constantly tell myself that every single day. Because from my upbringing, that's what kept me alive, was, you know, having friends or having a relationship. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what kept me alive. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to the point where I don't know how to love myself to the highest level. You know what I'm saying? I love myself enough, but not to the highest level to where I don't feel like I can't depend on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when it does come down to, you know, certain situations where, like, I may feel like, you know, I'm at my lowest, I can be crying out for help in silence. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, real shit. Like, I can cry out for help in silence. Because, because the thing is, like, I'm tired of, you know, like you said, like, you know, seeking out for help and, you know, having that assurance over you, you know, to the point where, like, you know what I'm saying, the person you seek that help out of, you know what I'm saying, if you happen to have some disagreements or, you know what I'm saying, they may guilt trip you into something just based off of, you know, whoever it may be, they may be that type of person that, you know, like, you know, if I help you, then, you know what I'm saying, like, I got this sort of thing over you. So It's like, you know, if you disagree or, you know what I'm saying, or if we fall out on some sort of type of, like, retarded shit, then it's like, well, nigga, when you was depressed, like, you know what I'm saying, who was on the phone with you, you know what I'm saying, type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm because of so many of those type of people, like, it makes it hard for me to really confide in a person. You know what I'm saying? To really, like, you know, say if, you know, like, I'm you know, having like my darkest moments, or like I'm in a deep depression to where like I'm not eating for a whole day, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if I haven't even cracked a smile, you know, the whole day, but I'm still on autopilot just doing shit that I normally do on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for me to really do that, you know what I'm saying? Because I went through that, you know, basically all my life, you know what I'm saying? That's with family members, friends, relationships, anything, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, granted, you know, people may see, like, a different side of me that I don't see, you know what I'm saying? They may see a greater person that just shouldn't really even be stressing or anything like that, but like you said, like, we all human, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? So if you may see a greater person than me, like that greatest person that you see in me still stresses and has great depression at times. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's all a matter of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you take this shit in that person's life, then it's like, what you going to do about it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I feel like, too, at the same time, like, I can't really, you know, assume that people will basically have the same mentality as I would. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what gets us a lot too. You know what I'm saying? Just assuming that, you know, because I put in this amount of effort and, you know, or whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like, you know, they're going to reciprocate the same thing. And I think that's where we fail at the most, is thinking that, you know, okay, if I put this type of effort and emotions into a person, you know what I'm saying, they'll do the same thing. And then when they don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? That adds on to the depression, because, you know, that makes you feel like, okay, well, what the fuck, what am I doing wrong? Like, you know what I'm saying? Type of thing, you know what I'm saying? And that's honestly been my biggest downfall, you know what I'm saying? Putting a lot of myself into people and thinking that, you know, myself will come back to me and say, hey, love, you know what I'm saying? Like, what you put into me, I'm putting right back into you, love. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so... but I mean, to go back to the question, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, honestly, like, you know, like I said, like, it took for me to go through the darkest phases of my life. It took the darkest phases of my life for me to change the way I thought about things emotionally and mentally. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's always going to be a test put upon you to where, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, let's see if you learn from this situation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you took the initiative to, you know, to make a change. Let's see if, you know, let's put it to work and see if, you know, see if it works, type of thing. You know what I'm saying? So I can honestly say, for me, like, it worked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, in a sense, emotionally and mentally trapped into the guilt tripping type of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you know, if a person feel different about me, then hey, like, that's kind of on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be a bigger person and, you know, like, ask, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like, how you feel about this? You know what I'm saying? And like really analyze the situation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's guilt tripping or if it was really my fault type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? But as far as, like, you know, like, if it's blankly guilt-tripping, then I'm like, okay, I'm calling you a bullshit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Like, obviously, you got some situations that you need to handle, you know what I'm saying? But it's you're not about to reflect that shit on me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because I have a life that I have to maintain, too, emotionally and mentally. You know what I'm saying? I can't give all of that into you if you're not going to give it back. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm. That part. Well, I'm honestly transitioning. I'm trying to become a recovering people pleaser, because that's where I realized it's been easy for me to give in to guilt tripping, because motherfuckers will see that you want to be liked and they manipulate and they hang shit over your head like a fucking mistletoe. So I would say for me, we're trying not to let it affect myself emotionally and mentally. I just have to tell myself, like, I didn't do anything wrong, but be honest about what I want. And that's what I have to do. I have to be honest about what I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, family is real quick to always throw in your face that we're family. Okay, let's act like it. It shouldn't be a one-sided thing. You know, it's like that quote, don't, you know what I'm saying, he knows your worth. It says he or she knows your worth. They just hope that you never know. So it's like a guilt tripper. Guilt tripper right. knows that you're a people pleaser. They just hope that, you know, they guilt trip because it's like they're so used to you giving in. And when you finally say no, it's the audacity. They never see, like, no, it's the audacity of you to try to manipulate me having such a big heart. And you know what I'm saying? And not realizing that this shit is making me depressed. You get what I'm saying? But in order for me to not do that, I have to freeze and wave, like, with anybody. You know what I'm saying? I can't sit up here and say, yes, I'm going to come here if I know that I'm tired. No, I can't make it. You know, like you said, a person, they're going to have to just check their emotions because at the end of the day, that's what it is. You're only mad and you're only guilt tripping because, you know what I'm saying, like, you didn't get your way. You didn't get your way. That's really what it is. I didn't talk about you. I didn't call you out your name. I didn't hurt you physically or mentally. I just said, no, I can't do what you asked me to. And, you know, when they throw it in your face, like, oh, I did this, this, and this for you. I know it hurts mentally when it's family because you never expect your family to be like that. Come on. It's like, you just be shocked, like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, you of all people, but you can't let that affect you either, you know what I'm saying? And that's one thing that I'm working on, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know what I want. I know what I've given. I know what I've done for people. But at the end of the day, I tell myself this self-love journey is personal. My relationship with myself matters more than any of my relationships with anybody else. Like, that's how I have to look at it because I was like you, going out of my way, and it did not get reciprocated, especially in relationships. But that's when this one lady told me, because I was like, I told her, I said, I can't get into another relationship because I love too hard. And she was like, that's the people pleaser side of you. She was like, you should never have to do all these grand gestures just to get someone to notice you. You should be doing that for yourself, and then they should just add to your happiness. So I was like, damn, I didn't think of that before. So it smacked me in my face. But all right, DC, that was a good segment. Thank you so much. Let's get in question and drop it.
All right, shit. Goddamn, those hot beans. As high as a motherfucker. Fucking blind the shit out of me. Let's stimulate that mind crazy.
Oh, shit. So this week, it's just, how was your modesty state? Like, how did you become such a modest person?
I mean, well, okay. So I'm not even about to try to answer this shit by assumption. Yeah, what does modesty mean?
Like, you know, you're just like a real humble person. Like, you don't like to, like, okay, how you have a clothing brand, but you probably don't like to tell everybody. You know, you kind of just, it's like you don't, you're very blinded to the cake. You're blinded to the potential that you have. You play it down. You play down your work. Like me, I wasn't telling people that I like to that I wrote for the longest time. My friends had to tell them. My mom had to promote for me because I always felt like, oh, I don't want nobody to think that I think I'm all that. So I'm just not going to talk about it.
Okay. Well, I mean,
oh, shit.
I became modest because, like, honestly, shit, I was never glorified just for the little things that I did. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was never glorified for my academic skills and, you know, like, the little that I was capable of doing. You know what I'm saying? I was always, you know, bashed upon and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when it came to, like, doing stuff, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my adult years and, you know, me actually, building myself up as a man that I've built myself up to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just looked at it as, like, you know, hey, like, nobody glorified me when I was young, so I'm not about to entertain the simple fact that, you know, that y'all appreciate what I'm doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the clothing brand too as well, honestly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the clothing brand was never really, you know, something to be glamified for, you know what I'm saying? It was more so just a story. It was honestly a story that was being told, you know what I'm saying, within the brand, and you know what I'm saying, the logo kind of pretty much expresses it all. And Yeah, I mean, shit, honestly, with parenting, too, like, you know what I'm saying, parenting was organic, you know what I'm saying, it just so happened to be, you know, alongside the positive fatheringhood, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people congratulate me on, you know, doing that, you know what I'm saying, even my kids' teachers or whatever, you know what I'm saying, like, when I go to talk to them during parent-teacher conferences, you know what I'm saying, like, they just be in awe, just, you know, just based on my responses, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I have my moments where, like, you know, I'd be proud, you know, that somebody acknowledges that, but, you know, at the same time, it'd be like, you know, hey, like, I was never in awe of my life, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you're not about to, you know, motivate me here and right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? My motivation was just based off of me, you know what I'm saying? Just me being a better father than, you know, mine was, you know what I'm saying? And he wasn't there, so... Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so I think that I definitely downplay modesty because I downplay like a lot of stuff that I did. Because I remember this one girl in middle school. She was light skinned with green eyes, and she was always looking at herself in the mirror. When she walked, she held her head high. But I remember people bullied her, like, "Oh, you so stuck up. You think you all that?" And it's like, dog, we're very harsh to people that love themselves. So it's like, I cared about what somebody thought. So it was like, okay, well, I'm going to hide my talents. Because I've always had a passion for writing since I was younger. I don't know if y'all remember out there, they used to have this you and B2K stories where you would place your name and then, like, you know, whoever your love interest was from B2K. So I used to write those stories. And the girls in the, in like seventh and eighth grade, they used to pass my notebook around reading them. And they'd be like, "I got your book, 6 hour," and everything like that. And I was like, okay, just don't get it taken by a teacher. But it's like, it made me feel good. But it's like, you never heard me say out of my mouth, like, "Oh, yeah, I'm a writer." Like, when I first published my first book, Honey Favorite Tears, I took it down. It took me a long time to say that I was an author. Like, I was just like, yeah, you know, I wrote a book. But I didn't consider myself an author. I didn't consider myself a writer. But it's like, I'm learning now, like, I can't be modest because my book's not going to sell themselves. Like, you know, this podcast's not going to sell itself. Queens of Vibes and Visions not going to sell itself. So I have to overstep it because I had to look at it. Me telling people about what I do, it's not that I'm bragging. It's just that I'm passing it out there because I have, like, just like dynamic culture is a story, but it's a story that people can relate to when you know, leveling up from nothing to something. So it's like, you know, you're getting that message out there. That's how I had to look at it. I'm getting the message out there because this book is life-changing. It's not that I'm bragging. And if I'm bragging, oh, well, like, we got to stop beating people up with tooting their own horn. You know what I'm saying? It should be nothing wrong with that. But I just wanted to know, like, how was, you know, your modesty shape? Mine came from critiquing, but also just how people used to be so mean to that girl for loving herself. Like, damn, I'm not going to lie. I partake in, you know, making fun of her too. Like, there she go again, head in the clouds. But it's like, that's fucked up. You know, it's fucked up. That's my take on it. But all right, DC, you got us on the shout outs and appreciations.
Yes, yes, for sure. Shout out to Self Love is My Rehab. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has been a therapeutic experience for me on a regular basis to allow me to be a better person, you know what I'm saying, on a day-to-day basis. Shout out to you, Complex, for allowing me to be on this platform. Shout out to God, because without him, you know what I'm saying, none of this would be possible. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. I got some I got some jogger sets coming out at the end of this month and or the beginning of October. Depending on when my shipments come in, you know what I'm saying? So be on the lookout for that. You know what I'm saying? I will be promoting those pretty soon. Shout out to my daughter. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to her. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because without her, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like, I probably wouldn't even mentally or physically be here. You know what I'm saying? If it went for her, like, on some real shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, She's been a great inspiration. Like, she's been, like, low-key, like, you know, a good inspiration within herself as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I post a lot of her her drawings and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? She has a gift, you know what I'm saying, on drawing and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? So as a parent, You know what I'm saying? Like, once you see something that's magical within your kid, you tend to, you know, force them to constantly do it. You know what I'm saying? You post it, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, for everybody else to be able to witness it and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very grateful of her, you know what I'm saying, if anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. With that being said, shit, shout out to all my positive kings and queens with positive vibes and positive energy. And shout out to all my negative Nancys and negative Karens with negative vibes and negative energy. We still rooting for y'all at the end of the day. We just waiting for you to catch up, Mustard.
Okay, well, I'm going to say shout out to this platform, Self Love is My Rehab. It's helping me to become a better person every day. Shout out to my book, No Apologies, that has set the platform for Self Love is My Rehab and Queens of Vibes and Visions. So I actually sold out at this event on Thursday, Nature and Poetry, hosted by Newports and News. It was definitely a lovely place. You got to go take pictures by the water, and the inside was really beautiful. All the performers there were dope. I was not expecting to sell out, but I'm so happy that I did. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just happy at how far I've come. And I also want to shout out God, because without him, I wouldn't have a close relationship and strong relationship with myself, you know, because of getting to reevaluate my relationship with God. I'm learning to look at everything from face value. I have more clarity on things, and I'm just learning to be honest with myself. So I'm thankful, you know what I'm saying, for just every day waking up, you know what I'm saying, to learn more about myself and just to keep growing. But that's all I got. All right, now, DC, what you know about that?
All right. Hey, what you know about that? Oh, goddamn, a mosquito. What you know about, goddamn it. All right, fuck it. So, look, listen. So I went on the Shade Room or whatever, and I found this particular topic, and it was basically talking about, you know what I'm saying, like how there's nothing more valuable than your time. You know what I'm saying? If you're blessed with an extra hour in the morning, it's heaven sent. You know what I'm saying? So basically it's asking, if you were given an extra hour in the morning, what would you do with that time?
An extra hour.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably still be asleep. You know, because, okay, I wake up an hour before work to listen to my podcast and to sort out my thoughts, because as soon as I turn my work phone on, the text messages and the phone calls start coming in. Because, you know, I have managed a caseload of 80 people. So I would probably take that extra hour to exercise, probably. Knowing me, my lazy butt would probably take that extra time to write at night and then take that extra hour to sleep and still wake up an hour before work to do what I got to do. What about you?
I mean, shit, honestly, the way my sleeping schedule has been, it'd be definitely sleep, because I'm gonna tell you right now, when I say I go to bed at like 10:30, hell, I can go to bed at 12 o'clock, and I'll still turn around and wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock at the latest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have this crazy sleeping disability right now. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but before I know it, like, because the thing is, like, I stick to my regular, like, you know, like little sleeping schedules or whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have my little podcast on that I listen to or whatever, and, you know, sleep to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would usually kind of just go to bed just like that. But lately, shit, it's kind of been like, you know, I go to sleep to the podcast, and about 2-3 hours, I wake up like, huh, time to watch some YouTube or, you know what I'm saying, go on to my legal/illegal website to watch movies on, and I'll be watching that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, it would definitely be sleep for my extra time, because, like, if I do get some extra sleep, then that I can get up and, you know, do my yarn with a smile, you know what I'm saying, make breakfast for me and the kid, and, you know, depending on if it's a school day or not, you know what I'm saying, I make breakfast for her, make my coffee, you know, wake her up and, you know, do my whole, like, little routine type of thing. But, yeah, definitely sleep.
Yeah. Sleep is beautiful. Sleep is beautiful. Well, that was a good show tonight, DC. I'm going to have you close us out with the dynamic culture quote.
For sure. So the dynamic culture quote for tonight is, I'm slowly learning that even if I react, it won't change anything. It won't make people suddenly love me and respect me. It won't magically change their mind to just leave things be. And I chose this because I know a lot of people are struggling with, you know, being people pleasers and, you know, really trying to drastically change their lives and, you know what I'm saying, their way of thinking just based off of everybody else. But I'm here to say today, like, you know what I'm saying, like, don't, you know, give in to, you know, people guilt tripping you about, you know, how to manage and change your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, you and God are the narratives of your story. As I always have said in this podcast, you know what I'm saying? And as long as you have that relationship with God, that's all that matters. And you know what I'm saying? He's going to see you through it. You know what I'm saying? Through the storms, you know what I'm saying? Through the sunny days, he's going to see you through it all. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you have that relationship with him before you have a relationship with anybody else. And, yeah, with that being said, peace and love, and we are out.
Peace and love, y'all.